I played 20 hours of Death Stranding.
I watched a 20-minute video of Death Stranding.
Therefore, we are qualified to talk about this game.
Oh, of course. I've got my license on me and everything. I mean, you know.
Okay.
Hello.
That did not...
That okay. sounded kind of weird.
That sounded but, kind of weird.
Hello, gamers. Welcome.
What's up, bro?
Okay. Well, you know, this is going to sound... Because this is... I hate scripted shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Poorly Explained Games Podcast. Better known as the Peg Pod.
The Peg Pod. Hey. Give me a fucking clothesline because I'm about to get pegged.
We should sell pegs.
We should. That could be a marketing.
Okay. Right? So I was going to do the intro, then I was going to introduce you.
Do the intro now. That was good banter right there.
That was good banter.
Yeah.
That was the I was doing the intro, then I didn't explain it to you. I should have explained it to you.
Good point.
Admittedly.
I did fuck that up. We'll go now though.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Poorly Explained Games Podcast, better known as the Peg Pod, where we explain games poorly to my friend Matt here.
Hey.
It's not quite what I wanted to do, but you go with it.
My name's Matt. I play games sometimes.
Today we're talking about Death Stranding. Matt, have you played Death Stranding?
No, I watched a 20-minute video on it, mate. But I like the art style.
You liked the art style?
I did like the art style.
It's just photorealism. I'm pretty sure like most of it's like motion captured. Okay.
Yeah,
what do you know about Death Stranding?
There's these little, like, babies, bro. And they're in people's throats. That's like the one visual image that it's ingrained in my memory. When they like go into his like mouth or whatever, and then there's like the baby inside.
Okay. Some like one trailer.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of the things that's just stuck with me. Then he's like he's a delivery man.
Yes, he is.
That's exciting.
Yeah, Norman Reedus. The delivery man?
Yeah. I mean, like, who doesn't love a delivery man?
Yeah.
MILFs? They love delivery mans.
Okay, so Death Stranding is Hideo Kojima. You know Hideo Kojima?
I do know him.
Yeah, Metal Gear fame.
Mm.
Left Konami. Decided to make his own game.
Mm.
And, it's been classed as just a walking simulator, which I think is a pretty accurate description of it.
But I think it misses the point.
It does?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. As someone who's actually played the game, not completed it, I got bored after about 20 hours.
That's fair enough.
There's just gameplay conflicts I found for me personally, for what I would be looking in a game.
Right.
We can get to that later, but I feel like we should start with the plot.
There's a good plot to this game. I know that it is a very confusing one.
It's all Hideo Kojima games. It's, I don't know, most of the cutscenes are just exposition.
Mm.
Which I don't think is good storytelling.
I feel like something especially with storytelling, it's that idea of show, don't tell.
Yeah.
You know? If you're just telling it, then that kind of like ruins it.
This game does both.
Mm.
And it's like, you don't need both.
Yeah. I feel like, again, it's that it's trying to show instead of just saying it.
Zombies or something.
Yeah. You know?
So you play as Norman Reedus. And you're in a post-apocalyptic America, but instead of zombies this time, it's rain.
And BBs.
No. BBs are the babies.
That's the babies.
BBs
Shit.
Are the babies.
Fuck.
There are these Dementor things, which I can't for the life of me remember the name of.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying to think of it now. I got like the Wikipedia article on my phone because I was having a quick like excuse. Bro, it is a long article.
Look at that.
It's massive. This plot is huge. What's it called? BTs.
BTs.
Yeah, beach
things. BTs. BTs. Beach things. Yeah. They're pretty much Dementors. But they come, there's this rain, and if you get hit by the rain, you age really fast. So you pretty much, humanity's taken shelter and all that. But then you've got some people who are special and can get hit by it or
plot
have certain effects. Well, they have different levels. So you play as someone who's got, like, who can, like, well, they can sense BTs mainly.
Yeah.
So and you, that's or, like see one. Them. Yeah. So there's different levels. So you play as someone who can sense them. And then with the help of BB, can kind of, more accurately, if you stay still, can visualize them, kind of, you know. So that's the whole stealth mechanic of the game, explained in plot.
I feel like I've never been the biggest fan of stealth.
I don't think stealth works in this kind of game.
The problem with stealth is that it's kind of hard to do a whole game of it.
Because well, a lot of the game is walking.
It's just sort of like repeated, you know?
Yeah, I definitely felt the stealth turned up too much in this game.
Because I watched Ghost of Tsushima. Was that? Yeah. I think that's how you say it, probably.
Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah.
I think that the T is silent.
Yeah, probably. but, you know, when you're like trying to do a mission stealth-like, you can just get past the AI because they're so dumb. And it's like, fuck, this is dumb, you know? I don't know.
The penalty for stealth isn't... For failing the stealth missions in this game isn't that bad.
What's the penalty?
Anyway, you kind of just get dragged to, like, kind of like a boss fight kind of thing. But if you button mash quick enough, you don't get into the boss fight, and you can still just run away from the boss fight. So stealth is just kind of like a nuisance that you just kind of...
You
do the stealth because it takes more time elsewise, but it's not really fun. And, like, you can kill the enemies, and you do that a bit, but, that's, like, entertaining me for, like, half an hour through stealth encounters. It gets boring quick.
Yeah,
I think the human stealth works better, because there are human enemies in this game.
Yeah.
And I think the stealth around them works better.
Right, okay.
Because you're trying to steal something from them, so you're trying to get in and out of their lair, and then if they spot you, then it's just either you try to kill them, which is quite easy, because the enemy AI is a bit dumb.
Yeah.
But, you know, or you run away.
Right, I guess you're...
But that runaway makes a lot more sense. It's hunting you and trying to kill you or something.
True.
But back to the plot, you play as Norman Reedus. Essentially, your sister or someone who's the president or something.
Oh, yeah. Bro, this bitch is confusing. Ugh.
She's, like, actually, like, God or something. Spoilers.
What was it? The seventh... Oh, I don't even know. It was, like, the seventh... Was it... Wait, was it a death show?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I remember. She's really old and then dies, and this other character who's meant to be someone different but is the same person, and you can easily tell straight away that they're the same person, who's like your sister or something, tells you to go find them on the other side of America. So your whole trek is to get to the other side of America.
And America is a big place.
Yes, but not really. Like, there are three maps.
Right.
And they're all quite small. Like, I explored the eastern map, and it didn't feel like...
Too big.
Like, because it's meant to be, like, the whole east side of America. It doesn't feel like that.
I feel like real condensed.
Yeah. Because it doesn't look like America at all. Because it's all...
I mean, that's
which makes
enough,
sense. Because, which, like, I quite like. I like the look of it, but...
Yeah,
it,
I
like,
feel like you can't have, like... A map that's the size of America.
Yeah.
If you walk 1 meter, it is...
But, like, I feel like it should have just been a bit bigger.
Yeah, okay.
Especially since the first map's kind of split off into two areas. Like, you got this big area that's, like, mainly, like, 70% of the map.
Right.
And then you got, like, these mountain ranges, which split off, like, the other 30%. But, like, 90% of the locations you need to visit are in that 70% area.
Fun.
And only one in the other area. So I pretty much 100%ed that area of the map, getting 5 stars multiple locations.
Nice.
Apart from that one that was further out, because that was just the pain to go to.
I get you.
There was no point going there. it would just take, like, you know, everything else was just in this nice area that you could quickly do.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But yeah, the plot's all over the place. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Well,
it makes sense when she, like...
Kashima thinks he's too smart.
I get, yeah. I get what you mean. It's like when you, like, watch a movie, in Night Shyamalan, and there's, like, all the fucking twists, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you never saw this coming.
Yeah.
It's so you're like, you did. Oh, I did. Yeah.
Like, his character's called, like, Dead Man and Death Mask or something.
Ooh.
But by far, the biggest twist in this game is because Norman Reedus, because you get the baby, and then every time you, like, leave, you have, like, flashbacks.
Mm.
And that show Mad Mikkelsen's character.
Oh, yeah.
Looking after the baby. Mad Mikkelsen is amazing in this. Like, he is in everything.
I love the scenes where it's him in, like, the war zone thing.
Yes. Those are the best parts of the game.
Gorgeous
scenes. I stopped playing after the World War One section, which is the first one.
Yeah.
But those are, like, the best parts of the game. And just looking at those cutscenes, like... but the big twist is that he, like, the baby that you're gearing through isn't actually the one that you're carrying, but is, in fact, Norman Reedus himself.
Yeah.
That's the big twist of the game, is that Norman Reedus is Mad Mikkelsen's son.
Which was actually quite a good twist.
It was. That one, and, you know, it's got a nice emotional impact, and that very much works. Just the rest of it doesn't?
Yeah. It's quite convoluted.
Yeah, for no reason.
The areas.
For no reason. But, like, you know, the mystery around Mad Mikkelsen, like, he's showing up, why are you in World War One section? You know, that's fun, and, like, it's a surprisingly good third-person shooter mechanics.
Oh, it is, eh?
Yeah.
Fuck, I was watching it. It was quite...
It's just like, wait, hang on.
Yeah, like, come on, you should have had this... lot more in the game.
Yeah, it was relegated to three sections of the game.
Waste potential.
But, like, you know, yeah, so that's fun. Like, you know, those bits are fun and good and emotionally impactful. Mad Mikkelsen is just a great actor. And Norman Reedus doesn't do a half bad job at it either. It's when you get to stuff like Del Toro and whoever plays Fragile, who is this girl who can teleport.
Yeah, she's like old.
Old. From, yeah. Because she got hit by rain.
Damn, did you just hate it when you get a little wet and your body turns 90 years old? Fuck.
Every time that happens.
Every time, bro. Oh, I hate it.
Yeah. There's also a main villain of the game who is actually... who has kidnapped your sister or president or whatever, but spoiler alert, the sister slash president or whatever is the bad guy controlling him this whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we're ending the world because it's the only thing you can do. And, like, at the end, you get given a choice of either killing her, letting her do whatever, or hugging her. And hugging her is the objectively correct option to do.
I hate those sticks.
And I don't think you're told you can hug her.
Oh, right.
So you're given no indication that that's what you should do.
I hate this shit where it's just like, oh, I'm gonna end the world because, I got bored on a Tuesday, you know? It's like, what the fuck?
I think she's... I don't know. You know, it's weird. Humanity is kind of fucked anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some... The best bits of the game, apart from those war sections, is just after you've done a long trek and it hits you with the music. Like, the Spotify playlist that it has.
Oh, shit.
It is some of the best songs that, like, just at the right time, like... Well, the first... Because if we go back to that beginning section, that town that's on the other side of those mountain ranges, like, climbing that mountain was, like, one of the hardest things you'd be... done up until that point in the game. You get to the other side and then, like, this, like, alt, like, soothing kind of music plays, and it's just like it's just the time to relax and take in the view as you walk down the hill to where you need to go.
I never paid too much attention to the music while I was watching it.
Like, playing it, that was, like, some of the best experiences you can get.
In
just games in general. Just, like, you know, I forget the name of the YouTuber, but have him linked in the description.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. But, you know, he had a video about vibe checks in games, and that's pretty much when the music checks in, that's pretty much what it's used for. It's just a vibe check. Just take a second.
Right.
Just relax. Take it in.
I watched the video of this guy. He got his wife to, who had like never played games, right?
Before. Yeah, it's the same person. It's the same person.
Robust.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
He's great at it.
He's great.
Oh, he's so good. I love his videos.
The same guy. He was talking about just vibe checks and games.
Yeah.
And just the second take, because the game looks amazing.
It does. It really looks does. Amazing. I love the black.
The black? The black and green?
Yeah.
Like
when Mads Mikkelsen. It's all over his face.
But like the soil's also black?
Yeah.
Because it's like rocky. And it's
great. It's a stunning game.
Yeah.
But I get why people don't like it because
it's not a game for everyone.
Boring.
It's not a game for everyone. Another bit of the most that you can do in the game is, and this is what a lot of people will say is some of the best parts of the game, is the community aspect.
The community.
Which may or may not be real. You may or may not actually be using real people's stuff, because it does work in offline, which implies that a lot of it
No Man's Sky.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is people. Like, I don't, like, if you play online, I think a lot of it is people's stuff that they've made that you can then use.
Right.
But I think a lot of it's just there to give the illusion that there's stuff there, in case you are playing offline. Okay. Just to be like, there are other people out there, although
they have save ones.
Yeah.
That, like, just generalized places.
Yeah.
Okay.
They also try make it that you're the one to complete any roads, because the whole central map has this big road that goes all the way through it.
Right.
And, like, you are the one that kind of completes it kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, you're, like, always the one to do, like, the last thing, like, 99% of the time for that section of road, which I think kind of implies that maybe maybe even if someone else had completed it, the materials that were given into that would be given into one of your less completed roads to not complete it or something like that.
Right,
I don't know.
It's kind of like,
so you're the one who gets the gratification of doing it.
Yeah, because then otherwise it'd be like, oh, I added a little bit to this road, but it's not done yet. Fuck.
Yeah, so you get the gratification of doing it and having people use it.
Which is probably smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you need some form of, I don't know the right word, catharsis is the word that comes up, but it's not the right one. But some sort of gratification that makes you feel like you're actually progressing.
Progressing, yeah. And it does feel nice to complete a road. Like, that is some of the best things to do, you know, or to make a bike and have people use that bike.
Right.
And you, like, do that. I never made bikes, I just use other people's. Saved on materials.
Easy.
You know?
That
bit of the community just works.
That's what Gary Grylls told me, you know? Adapt to overcome, survive, you know?
There's a lot of that, and you get stuff later, like zip wires to help go through mountains and stuff, and you can place them down and travel through or use other people's.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it just feels nice. Like, you know, so the community aspect, I think, is good. It's implemented well. Like, you can put stuff down and then other people can use them.
Mm.
And you have to prepare, you know, and that bit works. It's just that the journey itself isn't the greatest.
Yeah.
Because what I found 100% that section of the map was that almost every time in the, like, 5-minute journey, once everything's set up and you have a bike, you don't have a bike and it takes 15, whatever, there you would run into a, like, group of BTs, what are they called?
Yeah, BT.
BTs. You'd run into a group of them every time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just not fun. And it's like, why?
Well, you had, like, blood grenades.
You do, or yeah. Shit? Yeah, you
but
do.
But I feel like they were very but, limited.
Yeah, just the repetitive... You get other weapons later.
Right.
That can work against them, but just the repetitive nature of that.
It's, like, overdone.
Yeah, like, there's... And you get a, like, scanning system that shows you whether... later in the game, but that's completely useless because when you're progressing with the story, the points where they want to have DTs are going to have DTs anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like you can't really plan around it because you have to like rest in your thing, which is just way too much menu navigation to do anyway.
You talking about, like, when you, and
if you
like
want to bypass the rain.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, oh, when you, yeah, and yeah. That's way too much menu navigation to get in and out of that.
Yeah, I mean, Genshin Impact is a time system, right? And whenever it's, like, raining, it's really fucking annoying because if you're, like, an Electro character, then the Electro, like, yeah. Currents hit you because it's raining and shit. But so then, like, you just use a clock, which then it just fast forwards. You can fast forward to any time that you want.
Yeah.
But then it's just kind of, like, what the fuck's the point of, like, the time system anyway if... And, like, the rain system, if you can just skip it whenever.
Yeah, well, this one, you can't really skip it because it's too tedious to.
Yeah.
And you can't really plan around it because it's got to be there for a few in-game hours.
Ooh.
And it's just like, well, you know, there's no point. I just guess I'm just going to come across some DTs on this route.
Yeah. Like, oh, man.
It's like, okay.
And but, then yeah. You got the whole storage system with the fucking
yeah.
Backpack.
That takes about 30. That, no.
That, out of everything like in the game, I think that's the worst.
The worst thing? Like, the whole system itself is alright. Like, the whole, like, you have to wait it right. It's just how it's presented to you. The UX design
I've seen
for
it.
That is
it
terrible.
Is ugly. Remember when we were like in computer science and we're doing like what was it, the heuristics?
Yeah.
Nah. Nothing's there.
Nah.
Nothing's. It is ugly.
And the auto swap button doesn't do what you want it to do at all. It doesn't.
And
so then you have to sort it, and then when you're trying to organize it because everything goes in the wrong place when you take something out and put it back on, when you have to take the other stuff out, and no.
Oh, bro.
Just like, no. I do think there are some parts in the game good. You can, like, rest. You can, like, go to a resting thing on your walk and just rest there for a bit just to take in the scenery.
Have you seen those, like, fourth dimension break things when you're, like, when he's, like, resting in his room or some shit and then you're, like, you zoom in on his balls and he's like, whoa.
Yes.
And he, like, pulls out his hands and it's, like, breaks the fourth one. And you're like, oh, what the fuck?
Have seen that.
That's funny.
I think I've done that. Also sponsored by Monster Energy.
Fuck yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, I was like, hold on, what? And then I was like, oh wait, yeah, because they're the fucking monster cans.
The monster cans. Glad to see they survived the fuck.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, obviously, like whatever's in Monster Energy is tough enough to not get spoiled in a time wasteland.
Yeah.
Somehow. Like, what the fuck? What's in there? Like, acid? Jesus.
Also, going back to the community thing, like, you get a sense of community, like, as in other people playing the game.
Yeah.
But it's also quite lonely, because when you go to cities and stuff, you only ever really see, like, one guy who tells you, oh, the city's really proud that you did this, and it's like, this is, like, Detroit. There's meant to be, like, a million people on the ground here.
And there's just no one.
Yeah, there's just this one guy telling you, you're doing a good job for the people.
Damn. I feel like that's a missed opportunity.
You just, yeah.
You know? You go to,
Like, you don't actually interact with other people. And they're on holograms as well.
It's, like, super interesting, you know? Like Cyberpunk and how this with, like, the people.
Like, I think they were going for, like, the strangely lonely life that Sam has. Like, yeah, he's connecting with other people. but at the same time, it's a very lonely life. He doesn't get any other interaction.
Like, I think that could still have been achieved, though, if you had the city that was populated, but just everyone didn't talk to him because he's like...
Yeah, well, he's kind of meant to be like a hero or something. Yeah, this
tough guy.
Putting up the map again. Yeah. Like, you know. So, I think they were trying to go for, like, a story kind of thing with that, and I don't think it quite works.
Yeah, I do enjoy just, like, exploring, but having...
Because every, like, terminal just looks the same. They're, like, no city's distinct from one another.
Right, that's a missed opportunity. Damn.
Like, you expect me to believe that there are, like, thousands of people here? Yet, like, only a couple guys at this other bunker?
The guys that she needs to meet, and there's no one else. Oh.
Like, so supposedly there's, like, only Conan here, but over here, there's meant to be, like, thousands of people.
Yeah, they're all just in the room next door. They just want you to fuck off, you know?
You know, in this place that's, like, 10 kilometers away, although supposedly is meant to be, like, more than that, because we're in America.
Mm.
You know, meant to be, like, a couple states away. But in game, it's just a couple of kilometers.
Whoa. Fucking.
So they have Conan as a cameo.
And then I feel like that's the balance you need when you're doing, like, open world games.
You need that sense of scale, which just sorely lacks.
Yeah. You need a sense of scale. You need interesting environments.
Like, I feel like that maybe...
are different from location to location.
The last area is, like, a big city, I think. Or there's, like, a big city in it.
Right.
Which I never got to. But I think that would have worked a bit better. And definitely in the middle area, you've got, like, a desert, then you've got, like, a mountain.
Mm.
You got other areas, kind of. So there's, like, the basic open world stuff, it just doesn't... The scale doesn't quite work.
Like
when you open your map, it's just like, hang on.
It's like when you like, open up the map, it's, like, massive, and you're like, oh, fuck, this is going to take me forever. And then you just see yourself, like...
You have to see your path. Also, I love the path. I always love it when it maps out your path that you take for each...
Oh, it doesn't. That'd be pretty cool.
I just love it in games when it does that. I think that's, like... I just, in Breath of the Wild, the DLC, they added that. And I just love seeing what you've got.
Breath of the Wild is an amazing
game. It's an amazing game. Just love seeing what you've got. I love it when a game does that. Bonus points just for that alone.
Mm.
But, yeah, also difficulty doesn't quite work. Because apparently there's this waterfall section, which is meant to be one of the hardest areas to traverse in the game. And that's in the early sections of the central map. So you still got, like, half the game to go after that.
Woo! I mean, I was watching, like, the boss fights.
Yeah, I did one boss fight, I think. Yeah, oh, if you
anticlimactic.
Yeah, they're not
that good. I mean, because they're just, like, these massive monsters, right? And they're just like, whoa! But they barely attack you. They just kind of stand there while you're just like, oh, papa.
Yeah, and then if you run out of stuff, you just get stuff thrown to you anyway.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's like, you gotta create some form of tension to have some way of the... Once they, like, kill the boss, then they're like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, I did it.
Did it.
Instead of just being like, oh, okay, cool, I did it first try, whatever, let's go. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was a... You know, there's a lot of problems with this game. It's not a game for everyone. Like, I wouldn't... say it's a must play, but if it looks interesting, like,
that's the thing. It's not really a game for me. It's more so I just like the I like the style.
Like, I do like the vibe check kind of games that just, like, just take a step back, and this game could have been that, but then they have, like, combat and stealth mechanics just that just, like, intrude on you too often. Like,
choose one.
Yeah.
Choose one and go for it. Combat was good. It was fun. It, like, looked fun for the World War
II. Yeah, increase the enemy... make the enemy human enemy AI better.
Yeah.
Make the stealth sections more interesting.
Mm.
And then maybe cut back on... like, because they want it to be a challenging walking game. We have to, like, overcome things. And then you've got stealth sections. And then you've got...
combat sections.
Then you've got human AI, which is mainly just... the best thing to do in those sections, unless you actually have to get something from them. And even then, it's just to do, like, a hit and run.
Mm. And that's, like... I feel that that's what most games do struggle with, is computer AI.
Yeah.
Shitty enemies. I feel like you need to make it so, like, when you're playing against them and you somehow lose, computer learns again. Like what you did that turn,
like that.
And then you learn what they did
Freeze
that
boss
turn.
Fight.
Yeah, yeah. Make it harder, because I don't know about you, but every time I play games now, I just play on the hardest setting because it's just funner.
Did you hear that, EA? I don't play on the hardest setting most of the time. I just play on the normal setting because that's what it's usually balanced towards.
No.
But EA's patented a form of adaptive difficulty for their games.
What does EA do? Assassin's Creed?
No, that's Ubisoft. They FIFA and shit.
What the fuck are they gonna do with that?
I don't know. They do other, they do Battlefield.
Okay. Battlefield would be cool.
Yeah, so they're gonna have some form of adaptive difficulty for that, where you don't select your difficulty. But, like, at the same time, like, sometimes that's the point of a game. Like, I don't think adaptive difficulty is inherently a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it shouldn't be on itself, though. So there should still be the option to play at a stable level. But then if, like, you really want a challenge, then adaptive.
Yeah.
Know, then really go at it.
Skyrim has a mixture of both.
Mm, true.
Where some enemies stay a certain level and other enemies scale with the player.
And I don't like it when it's just, like, oh, you're underleveled, so the enemies have more health and they do more damage.
No, that is Skyrim. That's not fun.
It's lazy.
It is.
It's just like, okay, so you know it's just going to take me longer to kill them. Great. That's fun. Make it so it's not challenging in that way. Make it so they know how to beat you.
Just make it more difficult enemies.
Yeah.
Like, different enemy design, more variety.
Mm.
Like, in combat. You know, I think Spider-Man didn't have enough enemies in it.
True. Yeah.
I think they only had like three kinds of enemies.
Spider-Man looked really cool.
It's well fun to play.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of enemies.
Once you like spend like an hour playing it, you're like, okay. swing onto him, I punch him. Swing onto you, punch you, fuck, done. You know?
Do you know White Light, YouTuber?
No.
White Light does good. Link in the description. but he does videos based on, like, he's done like a whole bunch of the different Spider-Man games, and like he doesn't like the swinging in the latest one because it's just too simple. He says in other games it's more skill based.
I used to play a Spider-Man game and on like the PlayStation 2. That was fun. Oh, the swing mechanics were dog shit, but it was so much fun.
Yeah, but like he was talking about like the fact that Spider-Man can't even do stuff like climb up walls or like climb over like little bumps and walls and stuff, or do any like cool tricks in the swinging. Like, you know, Miles Morales.
Know?
What? If there's like a small bump in the wall, Spider-Man can't climb up it.
What? Really?
Yes.
Bro, that is so dumb.
It's hard to code that kind of stuff. I think some of the hardest things they had coding was like motion blur, because because we're used to motion blur on a screen.
Yeah,
because we watch films and that are 28 frames a second, whereas games are 60. So they have to manually edit motion blur.
I mean, like, it's kind of like with Cyberpunk, where they just, I feel like they could have spent a little bit more time on that. You know?
Spend a lot more time on
it's on Spider-Man and Cyberpunk, because
Spider-Man was a solid game.
Yeah, but if you're
worked.
Telling me
like,
you can't climb over a fucking little bump, then that's like,
yeah, I feel like
that's a
blatant
game.
The mechanics still made you feel good. They were just shallow.
Yeah.
It was style over substance.
It was.
And like, that's, I think that was fine for what they were going for. It's
like
just
and that's like the same with Cyberpunk. It was fucked.
Well, that was just fucked.
It was fucked. It was bad. Cyberpunk was bad.
Yeah, but White Light just makes the argument that maybe substance is what you need, so therefore you can create your own style and feel
I would good. Agree.
Because he's all about trying from intrinsic and extrinsic motivations.
Right,
and
right.
the different kinds of
but ways I think that's a fair argument.
Yeah.
And I think that is... But that is something that game developers should probably look into.
Yeah, Spider-Man PS4 is still my favorite Spider-Man story, like superhero story.
It's a good story.
Like, you know, I'm gonna fault that on them.
Yeah, no. Anyway, it's still a good game, but there's places where you can improve, and that's like any other game.
Yeah. Back to Death Stranding. what have we got left? Looks good. Makes me want to get next gen. You know?
Is it on PlayStation 4?
Undoubtedly you can play it on PlayStation. It just looks good. Undoubtedly it looked better on next gen. It's on PC as well.
That's fair enough. That's fair.
Because I played it on PS4 and I still looked good. It's like one of a few games that, like, if I had three games that made me want to get an next gen, that would be one of them.
What's the other two?
Like, I think I've already said this in the previous episode, but Resi 2 and The Last of Us Part 2.
Yes, you did say that, actually. Yeah.
Which both, all three of those look amazing.
They do. Graphics are insane nowadays. Getting very good.
They can't really get much better.
Well, it's kind of like that Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Type shit. Like, how far can you go until it looks weird? You know?
And I mean, there's also stuff for like the 2D market. Like, Stardew Valley, I wouldn't say looks worse than any of those games. Or, like, Hades looks amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just got a certain style.
Yeah.
It's not that it looks bad. It's got a different style. And like, that just means you don't have to...
Like, Odyssey was able to do a lot with a little. Mario Odyssey. Like, you know.
That's a good-looking game.
That is a good-looking game. It is on the Switch.
Fun-looking. It's fun, though.
It is fun.
Have you... I watched this guy called, like, Ant One or some shit.
Small Ant?
Small Ant. That's Small Ant. Bro, fuck, he's so fun. Oh, I love watching him speedrun. Oh, he's great.
Link in the description.
Yeah. For Twitch. Wow.
Link just to everyone's description that we mentioned. Just in there.
Oh, he's great. I love him.
You can do that, right? You can do that with part. I assume you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, yeah. If you... Yeah, check out Death Stranding. It's not for everyone, but if you think a stealth game where you walk a lot, try to...
I think it's a game where you can get a lot of inspiration.
Like, I think the walking mechanics, they're a bit basic.
Yeah. Yeah.
For going in-depth with warping and mechanics, they're a bit basic, because pretty much all it goes down to is holding the triggers when you start leaning to one side, or holding both of them to stabilize yourself.
Yeah.
It really isn't that in-depth.
No.
But, you know, it's alright. Like, you know, you place down ladders and...
It's like... It's when you get those games where it's like, oh, interesting, wouldn't do it again. You know?
Yeah, I feel like it could have been done further. Yeah. They develop a sequel, which I think Hideo Kojima's working on a different game.
I don't think he'd do a sequel.
I think he's doing a horror game or something.
That'd be interesting, actually. But, I mean, it's definitely a game where it's for... If you want some artistic inspiration, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
If you want a good gameplay experience, probably not.
If you like Hideo Kojima games, you all like... Death Stranding.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's definitely his style of game.
Yeah.
It's a Kojima game.
It's a Kojima game. For better or for worse, it's a Kojima game.
Yeah. So take that for what you will. Yeah.
I think, Metal Gear Solid 4, like, holds the world record for longest cutscene.
Ooh.
At, like, 40 minutes.
Oh,
yeah. And it's probably telling you the same thing about 5 times.
Yeah, probably. Why would you do that?
Yeah, so that has been the Pretty Good Gaming Podcast, or the Pig Pod.
Pig Pod. Fuck, ratings.
Ratings. Oh, right, ratings. What would you give Death Stranding?
Oh, shit. I'm gonna give 2 ratings. Gameplay rating, I'll give you 3 BBs out of 10.
3 BBs out of 10? I thought we went out of 5.
Today I'm going 10.
You're in 10 today?
Yeah, I'm feeling 10 today.
3 BBs out of 10?
Yeah, I like 10. I think 10's a bit more in depth. No. 3 BBs out of 10 because gameplay's boring. for the most part. There are sections that are good, which is why it's a 3.
It's a 3? Okay.
Do the wall sections. Boss fights are kind of whack, not going to lie. But, yeah. Artist rating, I will give it a 9 BTs out of 10. I think it's a stunning game, and I really love the style and the look of it.
So, yeah, I would give it about a 5 indie Spotify playlists out of 10.
You got that.
I got that.
You got that. Why five?
Well, you see, it does, like, you know, when it peaks, it peaks.
It peaks.
And when it doesn't peak, like...
It's just not good. Fair enough. Like, that's... Yeah.
You know, not much of it is, like, average. It's either...
It's either good or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good.
And, like, the good was able to carry me through quite a bit of it. Like, yeah. The good was very good.
I mean, obviously, I haven't played the game, so you'd have a bit more of an idea on that side.
Like, if I'm able to, like, I usually never play 20 hours of a game. The fact that I was able to play 20 hours of this game is impressive.
That is a fair point. So, I guess, you know, take that for what you will.
Yeah. You know? So that has been the Pig Pod. If you would like to support us, we may or may not, at this point in time, have a Patreon.
Ooh, Patreon.
And link in the description. Or a site, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
You know, or just other stuff, you know?
Never know.
We have stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Support us on Patreon. You get a rewards,
or
presumably.
OnlyFans.
Join us on OnlyFans for an exclusive OnlyFans podcast.
Give us $100 and you get a wide selection of, I don't know, pictures, because you don't actually know what we look like.